Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Talk Productions, a Black-owned radio network station that develops solutions for the Black community, presents Black Urban America. All you folks that are listening by laptops, and you have a comment or a question, you may dial 516-531-9540. 516-531-9540. And press 1 if we have a statement or a comment. The lineup for the week tonight, Tuesday evenings, we have Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones, and I'm your host. On Wednesdays, we have The Cutting Edge with Michonne. On Thursdays, we have the Port of Harlem Magazine Radio. And ending up the week on Saturdays, we have Provocative Thoughts by Carlton Stevens. All shows begins at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now I wanted to know, how many of you out there try to make improvements up with yourself? You make promises with yourself, always trying to do something correct, but don't know exactly how to do it. Well, tonight, join us, we have a gentleman that's going to discuss with us on self-improvement. And his name is Mr. Christopher Bassmore. How you doing this evening, sir? Hello?
Hello?
Oh, how you doing, sir? Thanks for having me.
Yes.
Doing great.
Who'll be joining us tonight is the host of The Cutting Edge, is Michonne. Michonne? This is Mr. Bassmore. Mr. Bassmore, this is Michonne.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great.
Okay, I'm glad. Tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
My name is Christopher Bassmore. I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I was raised in Alabama. From there, I joined the military, and I got out. The military did three years, made rank, made E4, got out the military and started going to DeVry University. From there, I got my associate, bachelor's, master's, and then I started working in IT, which is information technology. I started doing computer work. I'm currently married, two children. I'm the youngest of two brothers. So it's a total of three. I grew up in a single household. And one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this topic is because of experiences that I have by being the youngest of two and going to the military at a young age. So that gave me some insight onto some of the things I want to touch on tonight.
Okay, great. So you're telling us that the military really helped you develop into the man that you are today.
It definitely had a real positive influence as well as some negative influences. However, I choose to take the positive out of that situation to move forward in life.
Okay. So when you're talking about self-improvement, what areas should an individual focus on?
One of the first steps that I did that I think is very beneficial for anyone, I would tell an individual to stop and look back. I would tell them to look at their family history. And what I mean by family history, because you have to know where you come from. So one of the things that I did was I looked and I started searching and asking my mother, where did you come from? Who is your mother? Who is your father? And then I started going back. When I started going back, I realized that we couldn't really track our genealogy several generations in the past. So I went to several websites, and I found my great-great-great-grandmother, and she was a business owner in Alabama. And I never knew that. And her name was Miss Perlina Hagworth. And she was a business owner. She sold shoes in the house. And for me to see that on paper, because I went to a certain website and it showed Miss Perlina, it showed Perlina Hackworth, it showed two children in the house and it had occupation. And she had a shoe business. So when I saw that, it made me think, if she was able to do that in the early 1900s, what can I do today to carry on that legacy? So I would tell anybody to start looking back at your past history and identify, take positives from it. What do you want to take to the next generation? Your mother, you start there. You go to your father and you look back. You go to the next generation, because every generation should have something to pass on to the next generation. And that's where I started. And I would advise anyone to please start there, because once you identify where you have been, then you can start identifying where you want to go.
I just have a news flash. There were millions of black business owners in the early 1900s through the segregation. And it's only, matter of fact, it was more business owners. So don't not be surprised a black woman had her own business back then, because a lot of black women had their own businesses back then due to segregation. And matter of fact, it was more black business owners back then than are today, thanks to the Civil Rights Act. So, when we're trying to make ourselves better, how you said go back. So what are some of the steps that an individual can take in making themselves better besides going back?
So that's the first step, in my opinion. So once you go back, you write down the pros and cons of what you saw in your past generations. Now that you know how you want to move forward, the next step is identifying what do you want to do to pass on to the next generation. And for me, I knew I wanted to get an education. I then started volunteering myself because I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I would recommend for some people that don't know what they want to do in life, I would recommend volunteering with different organizations that will put you around individuals that could kind of lend you some advice on what you want to do, sort of like a mentor. Because a lot of times, a lot of brothers and sisters don't have mentors, and they don't even know how to start. They don't even know what questions not to ask. Everybody want to run to YouTube. Everybody want to run to YouTube and for the quick fix. Oh, I can go to YouTube. I don't want to spend the money on a coach. Do you know that I have a coach for everything, and I would recommend get a coach? I have a coach for everything that I do most of the time. When I work out, I have a workout coach, and this is free. we do it every we do it on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Zoom. For credit, I have a credit coach that teaches how to build business credit. What is credit? I have a work coach. We talk about how do we build businesses off of what we're doing in corporate America. So I surround. Once I identified what I had in the past, what I want and what I don't want, I then start surrounding myself around people that can add value to my life, and that start building relationships. That's the next step, building positive relationships.
Let me see, how can I ask this question? How can one improve? I mean, that's great and everything, the skills and abilities, the mentoring, but how about character? And how about knowledge of oneself?
Okay, let's talk about that. So, and the reason why I say relationships and building, and let me give you an example. So, at the time, I was 35 years old, and I was living on a certain area called Old National Highway, and that is in the suburb of Atlanta, which is a black area, 2 Chainz from that area, Jermaine Dupri. So it is a area that got some crime, kind of high crime rate. So I lived in this area, and I started to build with the neighbors. And here's what I identified. People will follow you if you have something to offer. If you don't have anything to offer, they won't follow. So what I realized, in order to get my neighbors to follow me, I had to have character, integrity. And your question is, how do you get that? I got it by personally going to the military. They taught me to be punctual. For this interview, I was on the call 20 minutes early. The military taught me how to be punctual.
But Brother Passmore, a lot of people don't like the military. Are there other ways you could build your character?
I was giving you a prime example. And I don't think that you really let me try to reiterate this about volunteers. I don't think that you're really hearing the part where I say about volunteers. For example, I had guys in the
Excuse me. I know about volunteer because 40 years out of my life, I work for volunteer organizations, coaching young men. So I know about volunteer. Uh-huh. I know what volunteer means.
So I guess that helped me, and that helped other individuals that was in my neighborhood. And that's why I went to the volunteering and the mentor, because I had a youth program in that same community, which I'm talking about, called Transforming Youth. And a lot of the kids came with their pants sagging, and that's when I started talking about, if you don't have anything to offer, then they won't follow you. So I recommend the volunteerism, to go out and volunteer. And that's what a lot of the kids in the neighborhood did with me, because in order for me to bring them in, I had to give them something. I started doing basketball tournaments in the neighborhood. And a lot of the guys couldn't read. They were 15, 16 years old, couldn't read. They started going to some of my workshops, and guess what? That gave them more. They gave them the ability to want to do more. I got a couple of guys right now that's in the military. I got a couple of guys that's in prison. And I got a couple of guys and girls that are in college right now. But it started because they saw something in me. And I built my character from the military and from my brothers and where in the area in which I live. So I just showed them by being an example. And I was able to get great feedback from that by what they're doing now. And it shows. So that's why I really talk about the coaching, the volunteering, because a lot of times we don't know. You can ask somebody right now, why is it important to have a credit score? What is a credit score? And how it affects you? How does it affect your insurance? How does it affect the schools? So that's why I really talk about coaching, mentoring, relationship, because that's a must. Because a lot of times we don't know what to ask. We don't know. But, you know, I had guys come into the program with their pants sagging, smelling like weed, but they didn't know any. It's like they didn't know any better until I had to sit them down. Hey, man, let's go into. Let me talk to you. Hey, you need to wear a belt. They had to see it, but they got that opportunity by volunteering, by having a coach, by having a mentor. That is very important, and a lot of times we don't have that in our community, and that's what we gotta have it. You gotta have it. You gotta have it, sir.
Michonne, you have a question?
I do. How can someone, wait a minute, what can someone do to overcome the fear of stepping outside of their comfort zone?
What I personally did, I prayed. Because I suffer from that sometimes. So what I did was I prayed. And I asked God to give me the ability to surround myself around like-minded individuals. And that's what I did. And I would recommend anyone to look at their five closest friends. Look at your phone. Look at the five phone calls in your call log right now and ask yourself, are they adding value to you? If they're not, how would you ever step outside your comfort zone? You have to move away from the crowd at the bottom. You have to do it. It hurts. The higher you go up, you can't go with everybody. Every step of the way, I lost people along my path. I lost them. They come back around at times.
Part in your self-improvement?
Go ahead. I didn't hear you.
Does gratitude play a part in your self-improvement?
Can you explain what you mean by gratitude?
Being thankful for certain things.
All the
gratitude.
Time. All the time. And that's why I keep talking about volunteering, because the more you give, the more you get in turn. It happens across the board. I always give. And that's how I got into this business of being a leader, doing stuff in the community. That's how I got into this, because I realized that the more you give, the more you get. And a lot of times you will not see it come right back. But 4 years later, I saw one of the guys say, Chris, I saw him in the store. He said, Chris, man, I just want to say you saved my life. I just want to say thank you, man. When I was out there on Old National and I was in the street, you put that basketball goal up and you never knew it. But I used to have my mother get dropped. I used to have my mother drop me off at that basketball goal and shoot basketball over there. And you had a safe haven for us over there. But it was a community effort.
How does discipline play a part in your self-improvement and personal growth?
Discipline, I would like to go back to my military days. And I used that as a baseline for myself. And here's the reason why. I was 17 years old. Do you know I was 17 years old in Tuscaloosa, Alabama? I used to wear my hat to the right, wear blue all the time, stupid stuff. And when I went to the military, I didn't even know how to put a hat on the right way. Almost got kicked out in boot camp. But I learned discipline. When I was in the military at 18 years old, we was handling bombs. We was doing jobs that for an 18-year-old that most people wouldn't be able to do. I was managing guys. I was 18 years old, and I was managing younger guys, 17, that just got in. I was managing guys, and we was doing real World War-type activities on a flight deck, on an aircraft carrier that had 12,000 men on it. And so when I got out the military, I tried to go hang with some of those old friends, and they lacked the discipline. They didn't want to go to work. They were still smoking weed. They didn't want to go get a job. And a lot of those guys are just not getting out of prison now.
Okay, we have a caller. Let's bring this person in. Welcome to Black Herb America, 5073. You're on the air.
Well, Kenny, I want you to know I'm back. I've been off sick for 2 months.
Wow. Jackie,
and I don't
know
what your topic is tonight, but I heard the person, I guess it's your guest speaker, talk about volunteering, and someone asked, how do you step out of your zone? Well, I have done quite a bit of volunteering, and I agree with her about sometimes you have to step out on your faith and ask God to help you. I volunteered really at the VA hospital in Marion, where I live, and I volunteered at their hospital. And while I was volunteering, I volunteered first. When I decided to volunteer, they stuck me with a doctor who was renting space in the hospital that wasn't part of the hospital. And I got out of that. I told him he needed a secretary. He thought he had somebody to get to do some of his work that he needed to get done without paying somebody. I left there, and then I went. I was the clerk for the surgery room clerk volunteer. And it was nice. And my thing was then I had a hard time with the white volunteers because I was the only black one. They wanted to dictate how I did my volunteering and what I did, but I did straighten them out. And I also agree with her that, like, I used to be a director of a GED program in Thurston County, Pennsylvania, and I worked during that time with women on welfare. And to me, it was more like a volunteering job. And what I did was I let them see the things that I had accomplished. And I even took the group, one class, to my house. And they're used to living, like they have the row houses, and you might have 10, at least 5 families living in one house or something like that. And they wanted to know how many people lived in my house. And I had almost a 4,000 square foot house. I say just me and my husband and my grandson. And they couldn't believe that. And I said, they said, how do you do that? I say, number one, you might be on welfare right now. I say, and if that's where you are at this moment, but don't use it as this is a lifetime thing. I say, earn what you can get. I say, they have places where you can go to school while you're on welfare. I say, what you need to do is learn how to put your welfare, the woman social worker, on welfare. You get out. I say, because this is not designed for you to further yourself in life. And they appreciate it. And I, just like they said, some of them girls got out off of welfare and had better jobs than I. They're making more money than I would. And I was proud of them. And they said, you know, I did this. I'm doing this now. And it is. And you have to, when you're volunteering, not look down on the people that you're volunteering with, but you have to let them know that you maybe if you've been where they were, how you got out, and they do appreciate knowing that they don't have to stay in the same position that they started out in.
Oh, all right. Chris, you getting responses to that?
No, I concur with her. I agree with volunteering. Volunteering is very important for me, and I see how it helps others, and I also believe in coaching. So I definitely agree. And I also volunteered at the VA as well. When I got out, I volunteered at the regional office in Atlanta, and what I was doing, I was processing paperwork. I didn't like doing it, but what I did, it taught me what I did not want to do. So I was in school studying IT, so I would do that part-time, and I was using it as a benefit. So I volunteered, I used it as a benefit, I met contacts, and I built relationships. So I use people, things, tools to my advantage. And in turn, I do the same to them. I give. I'm a giver. I'm always looking to add value. So I look at everything that I do as an opportunity to add value and to give value.
Cool. Now, you was mentioning earlier about you know, people wearing their pants down, hat to side, smelling like weed. How do you transform negative habits?
Well, I'll be an example. For example, when I was dealing with youth that were doing that, I didn't talk down to them. I put them in an environment and I showed them. Sometimes you have to show them what a real man looks like, because I could talk to them about being in the hood, all the different things that they do. But when they see me with my pants up, they have to see you. They saw me. They saw me with my pants up. They saw me talking to the mayor of the city of South Fulton. They saw me talking to the police chief by name. They saw me doing it. They saw me. And when the youth see you, they feel like the ones that I had, some felt like they could do it. And I go back to leading by example, because that's who I was. I could talk the talk with the guys wearing the weed, smelling like weed, drinking the beer. I put a basketball goal up in the neighborhood. They did that there. But I also created an environment to teach, to train. And some of them went off to do great things.
Yeah, that was Jackie was saying about her experience. When you talk about self-improvement, okay, what's your thinking process have to be? What should your thinking ought to be in one to make improvement in oneself?
What do I want out of life? That's why I talk about the first step. When I look back at the past generations, I saw what was good, I saw what was bad. The next step, I started looking at what do I want to pass on to the next generation. Then I started surrounding myself around like-minded individuals. That's what I did.
Okay. All right. Let me see. Self-improvement. Is self-examination part of self-improvement? Should one look into themselves in order to see what needs to change? Because when you talk about self-improvement, you talk about changing some things that might have been a part of you for decades.
Right.
So what self-examination would look like when you're doing this, you know, when you're going through improving oneself?
When you get up in that morning, when you get up in the morning and you don't like what you're doing, you will change. As something, you will either go down or you're going to go up. What we're talking about self-improvement, this is simple. This is not a hard process. Either you're going to do it or you're not. This is simple, straight to the point. It's like some people try to overcomplicate the process. It is simple. It's a simple process. I continue to talk about the volunteerism, because a lot of guys and girls in the neighborhood don't know what they don't know. And how do they know? If you look at the young generation, most of them want to be rappers, sports players. Why? Why do they want to do that? It's because the television is programming us. Anytime you turn the television on, every minute and a half, there's a commercial that's programming us to buy a product. Where's our product? We don't own it. Most of the time, we don't own anything. Those kids are mimicking what they see on TV. Rick Ross stayed half a mile down the street. You never see him. Boosie, another rapper, he stayed down the street from my other house. You don't see these guys. These guys get money and they move away. Their kids go to these different schools and they don't interact. So that's why I keep going back to, it's self-improvement is a simple process. When you get in your mind that you're tired of living the same way, you will start seeking answers. It's a natural way of life.
Well, don't worry.
What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm listening and learning. I just want to ask. Don't one have to get to know oneself in order to know what to improve within themselves? Huh?
How does a person get to know themselves? By reflection, would you say?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Uh-huh. So when I continue to talk about looking back, that's who you are. Do you know that you are a sum total of your experiences? That's why it's so important to see where you come from. Is it alcoholism? Is it drugism? Is it coming from single-parent household or a multifamily household? What is it that you saw coming up? Did you see your mom getting beat on? Did you see your dad get beat on? What is it that you saw coming up that you want to change? Looking at the man in the mirror. And the reason why I keep going back to the volunteerism and the coach is because a lot of times we don't know what we don't know. Would you agree on that? A lot of times people don't know what they don't know. They don't know what questions to ask.
Yes. Sean, you have any questions?
Yes, I do. How can people lose the fear so they can explore new possibilities and chart a new course?
Fear. False evidence appearing real. What do you have to lose? Everybody is going to die. Would you agree? We all are going to die. What do you have to lose? Nothing. You have to do it. In order to get to the next level in life, you have to remove yourself from the crowd at the bottom. You have to surround yourself around like-minded individuals. And how do you do that if you don't know what you don't know? Get a coach. Surround yourself around like-minded individuals by volunteering. That volunteering is very – I hope people on this call really hear what I'm saying about this volunteering, because this will put you around like-minded individuals that you don't even know that you want to be around. Do you know that it's people out here ready to give money away? You just have to put yourself out there. Like, for example, this radio interview. I didn't go out there and market myself. I got a radio interview with you all. You know why? I don't know why. I didn't even ask how y'all even found me. But I put it out there because I wanted more. I wrote down my goals. This goal was 2 years ago. 2 years ago I wrote this goal down, and now here it is, showing up. An interview about something I started as a college kid to where I am now. So when it comes to fear, have no fear, because you're going to die anyway.
I mean, that's easier said than done for most people. I mean, it's easy for somebody to tell someone else don't have fear when they're fearful. I mean,
ma'am, I'm gonna be honest. But here's the deal. I'm here to give information. I'm not here to make someone change their mind. I can only give you what I've seen that has been effective and what works. If they don't want to get it, that's why they have the haves and the have-nots.
Okay, I understand that, but what I want to know is, what can you tell somebody to do to actually lose the fear? I mean, some piece of advice. I mean, positive self-talk, affirmations. I mean, what do you tell somebody that you come in contact with, or these teenagers or whoever they are that you talk to? What do you say
a lot of people I run across, they are fearless. I don't run into a lot of people. I don't run into many people that are fearful. I run into more people that are fearless, and you have to tame the fear. You have to attain to being fearless. I don't run around many people that are fearful. I personally don't. But affirmations is a good thing. Reading the Bible is a good thing so you can understand who you are. That's what I do. I read the Bible. It talks about in the beginning was the Word and the Word. I read that. I read Jeremiah, which talks about I knew you before I formed you in the womb. So those are the things that I do to continuously self-motivate me, but I also keep going back to the coaches, to the volunteers, because I build relationships that constantly add value to my life. I would never stray away from volunteering. I would never stray away from coaching. I would never stray away from being an example. I would never stray away from it.
I want to go back to what you were saying before about self-improvement is an easy process. Maybe to you, self-improvement is an easy process. We have people out here who are trying to make improvement to themselves are not having an easy process. So what would you say to them? I didn't hear you say, oh, it's easy, just do it. And, like, they are trying to do it, but they don't know the process.
Well, I would tell that individual to find a volunteer, to volunteer. I would tell them to look to God. And it is easy to do, in my opinion.
Sure. You say it's an easy thing to do. I work with substance abusers. There are people in their mid-50s who've been trying to get off substances most of their adult life. If it was so easy, why everyone is not doing it? That's just an example that I'm using.
And I think I have a better example. For example,
I mean, everybody can't be a volunteer. Everybody's not going
not,
to
not,
a volunteer
not,
program. And hold up.
Okay.
People have to really, really do self-examination, self-awareness. Okay, not everybody is going to a volunteer organization. Not everybody can't coach. Everybody don't know how to interact, don't have the interpersonal skills. In fact, that's a part of their self-examination. Maybe they have to improve interpersonal skills and relationships. Everybody just can't do it. It has to be a process. What is the process? And everybody just can't be a volunteer or go to a volunteer organization. Everybody can't play basketball or football, run track. Everyone is different. Everybody's not
right.
A veteran.
Okay, I'm following you very. Let me go ahead and I didn't want to go textbook on you, but let me go textbook. Everybody, get your pens and paper out. Number one, success must be in your mind first. Everything starts with a thought. Number two, be constant in your efforts. You have to do it over and over and over again so you can get better. Number three, get away from the crowd at the bottom. One of the most difficult steps you will face on your successful journey is getting away from the crowd at the bottom. Number four, be willing to change your life completely. Number five, do not procrastinate. Do it now. Stand on your own two feet. Do not fear failure. That's textbook. It's no different than gentleman A. Two people grew up in the same household, same mom and daddy. One want to be a janitor and one want to be a doctor. Everybody has choices.
Mm-hmm.
Just like everybody has choices. Just like person A may want to go work at Publix, and person B will say, you know what, I'm going to study and I'm going to live with my mama for a couple of more years. But then that person number B, may go out and be something totally different and be making way more. Everything boils down to choices. So it's easy when you want to do it. That's why the only reason I keep going back to the volunteering, I'm not talking about a volunteer organization, sir. I'm talking about volunteering your time, volunteering with people in your neighborhood, volunteering just doing anything, going out when they're picking up paper. Go pick up paper because that's how you meet people. That's how you do it. That's how YouTube is winning. Do you know, kids, right now, kids, let's talk about 16, 17-year-olds. Do you know that they don't want to go to college and go get a job? Most of them don't want to do that because you know why? Because they have way more opportunities today than they did years ago as it pertains to them making money right now.
Mm-hmm.
Kids can make money right now by putting a video up on YouTube, getting a million views.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter is 4 years old and has a YouTube channel and got views. That's what I'm talking about. We have credit. It's easy. I can say credit is easy. You know why I can say that? Because guess what? I volunteer. I seek. The Bible says seek, search, and I did that. Knock on the door. There's no way around sharing your time. There's no way around it. Get away from the crowd at the bottom. You have to do this. Anybody can think about this. Look at what just happened. Let's talk. Look at what just happened with President Trump. People was mad at Trump saying he didn't do this, he didn't do that. But guess what? I guarantee if you look at the statistics, there's more black wealth than there probably ever been up under this guy.
More black entrepreneurship. Because we decided, more black folks under the Trump era knew they were becoming unemployed, so they started their own businesses. They became entrepreneurs.
Hello. That's my point.
That's my point.
So, but you started telling me, y'all are telling me, y'all want the textbook. I'm telling you what works.
Volunteers work. Hold up. First of all, I didn't say anything about textbook. What I said was the process. Because the process for you may be different for the process for somebody else. What is the thinking process? What should you do? How should you do it? Everybody just can't get up in the morning and say, all right, I'm going to improve myself. Like, what's step one? What should you do for you? Like you said, you should have the thought and the willingness. You got to be consistent. So, sir, don't sit up there and put words in my mouth because I didn't say that. Okay? I listened to your story. I had questions. That's all. It's just a conversation.
I understand.
Rishon, you got a question?
Yeah, I do. You had mentioned, like, a routine, basically, in self-improvement and changing. If you had someone that was trying to find out from you how they can change, what would be one of the first routines you can tell them? Because, I mean, me personally, I have a morning routine. There's certain things that I like to do in the morning to get me going that helps me out. So what would you tell somebody else, maybe a teenager starting out, you know, like what they can do to start a routine or what they should do first?
Okay. One of the things that I teach is I get up, tell them to get up at 4 in the morning. Get up at 4 in the morning, meditate 30 minutes, jog, get on the treadmill, 5 o'clock. And it's called winning before 8 a.m. Winning before 8 a.m. Meditate, work out. And a lot of those things, what it does is it gets the mind going because it's quiet around 4 a.m. I get a lot of my ideas and thoughts between 4 and 5 in the morning. That's what I do. And that's why I keep going back to the volunteering, the seeking mentors, and as simple as, like, for example, a book is only $12, right? You can go and buy a book, and it would tell you step A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Now, we can buy that same book. One person may implement it, and one person may not. So we can't say that that book is no good or everybody can't do it. I would say everybody won't do it. And that's why you have the have and the have not.
Well, let's say you're out and about, and let's say here's a new person on the scene, young individual, looking for some type of guidance and what have you, and you have a conversation with this young person, okay, and you say, "Oh, Mr. Christopher, you know, I've been trying this way, I've been trying that way, but I really don't have the skills. I don't see the results. And I've been trying to change some of my ways for the past couple of years. Nothing's changing. Everything is the same. And every day I try, but I just don't have the talent in anything." What would you say to that person? What would be your response?
Who do you surround yourself with? You know why I say that? Because it only takes one to change your life. It only takes one person to change your life. Do you know gift comes from God, but through people? I believe in that. So if this person has told me, "I've done this, I've done this, I've done this," but then I look at the person's feet, not what they say, you look at their feet. Their feet move. Where does their feet go? And it will let you know all about a person, not what they say. A person can say, "Oh, I do this. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to do this." But then you have to look at, where do their feet go? What are they actually doing? Who are they surrounding themselves with? Who are they spending their time with? Who are the last five people to call them? And it goes back to relationships, because it's easy for you to start watching TV. It's easy for you to do things that's non-productive. However, if you had a coach, if you had an accountability partner, if you was volunteering with most people that volunteer, have some things, have time. Time.
And especially now, this is a good time to really take a good examination of yourself, because people are so locked in. And people are not going out that much in certain parts of the country. This is a very good time to really work on oneself and really try to develop a positive core group.
I think that we're in a paradigm shift. If you notice, there's more and more people that have become experts in anything, basket weaving, relationships, self-improvement, because everybody can go to YouTube, write a book, and say, "I'm an expert," and it's believable because, oh, he has a YouTube page, oh, he has a book, or he has a radio show, et cetera, et cetera. More people have more options because we're in a paradigm shift, like I told you. I have a workout coach. In the morning, 4 a.m., sharp, we're going to be doing it through a Zoom. Now, I sent that same link to five people. Did they take it? Are they on that Zoom call? No. So it goes back to choices. Do they want to be fat? Do they want to be slim? Do they want to improve their health? It's up to them. If you don't want to change, hey, my program may not be for you. But however, if you do want to change, here it is. Here's the blueprint, and we're ready to go. That's why I say it's easy. Everything ain't for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. In self-improvement, how can that benefit the regular black community?
what you're doing. You have a radio station. You allow someone to come on and give them a platform. Now to the millions that's listening around the world right now, they can take a few things that I said and take a few things from what you said. I don't. I keep moving forward. Like for example, look what I've done. I surrounded myself around people that are better at doing the things that I want to do. That's a nugget. Surround yourself around people that are better than you.
Hey, you know what? Hey, you talking about, and you got to put aside your ego when you do that, because when you surround yourself people better than you, it helps for you to strive. And help for you to make better goals and objectives. And before know it, your status has improved. And another thing I want to add too, time. It's going to take time. This is not an overnight thing. This is a marathon. This is a life's journey. You're talking about, you know, you waking up at 45 and say, damn, what have I done with my life? You know, what I need to do with my life? And you know, you start exploring yourself and whatnot. And so it's going to take time, you know. And there's a key word that you said earlier. You have to maintain. You got to be persistent. It got to be constant. And it's going to be some dips. But you just got to keep moving. I just want to add that the time factor. Because we have a lot of people, we live in a society now, instant gratification. For example, the number one New Year resolution is losing weight. People rush out. I mean, the fitness centers, this is their best time of the year, the month of January. They make more money in January than the whole rest of the year. But people goals are to lose weight. If they don't start shedding the weight within the month, they said, I think the last I read, it was like 60 to 70% of people stop by the time February 1 rolls around. Instead of keep going. This is not a race. You know, that's why I brought it, the time factor, and that's the example. Rashawn, let's end it up with you asking him a question.
Okay. Are you planning on writing a book?
I'm in the process right now called Winter Before 8 a.m.
Okay.
That's good. Well, I think for coming on Black Herb America. I thank for the listeners tonight. It's been very, very enlightening. And I think everyone should take an evaluation of oneself and start. I don't care how old you are. Everyone got to make self-improvement. And like you said, when you wake up in the morning, how can I better my life today? So, Mr. Bazemore, I thank you, and I'm going to be looking out for your book, too, man.
All right, well, thank you very much for having me. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity. It's a great platform, and I look forward to staying in contact and actually listening to your show. And thanks, LaShawn, for
Tuesday,
the
question.
Every
Tuesday
at
8 o'clock.
You're welcome.
And be sure,
and thanks
and
for the
come on Wednesday, the Cutting Edge. What are you talking about tomorrow, Rashawn?
Ooh, I got a heavyweight on all this month. I got an activist, black activist, of course, Alonzo Waheed, Sr. He's with the Justice League.
Okay.
He's with several different gatekeepers. He's one of them that lobbied Springfield, the capital here in Illinois, for the police reform that got passed that the police around here are hating. And I was trying to get him on, but he had been booked up with all these interviews and on TV, but I will have him tomorrow.
I just want to say one more thing before you leave, Mr. Bazemore. What we do here at We Talk Productions, we try to educate the black community. Oh, you're being racist. Oh, you're being... No, no. It's be one. Black one, black always. That's who I am. That's anybody don't want to be a part of that. Oh, so oh, okay. All right. And it's all about improving our communities. And before you can improve the whole before you can improve the family, you gotta improve yourself. You gotta improve yourself and then the family and then the community. And I just want everybody to recognize that we as people have to start looking inward of who we are so we can better our families and better our communities. And with that, folks, everyone have a nice week. Tune in tomorrow night with the Cutting Edge with Michonne. As always, I am because you are. We are because I am. Everyone be safe. See you.